Good morning. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday, the 18th of July, and I think it's going to rain today. It is in parts of the state. It just needs to be gentle. Milwaukee and Chicago have a number of assets, our guest the first hour says. Fine universities, global corporations, world-class business services, and beautiful lakefronts. Chicago ranks among the 10 global cities. Milwaukee is becoming the freshwater capital of the world, but both bleed jobs and residents. And the cities would rather compete than cooperate. In China, there are more than 30 cities bigger than Chicago, more than 100 bigger than Milwaukee. In the global economy, the two lakeside metropolises risk irrelevance. Milwaukee and Chicago need to get together and explore all that they have and how they can work together. There was a major conference in this city yesterday, Milwaukee's Future in the Chicago Mega City, that looked at the Chicago-Milwaukee economy and beyond the economy. It was sponsored by Marquette University and the Journal Sentinel. And part of this was prompted by an organization based in Paris, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, which says the world sees the Chicago region as a common economic area. So should we be? Our guest this hour has joined us before. He's a very deep and visionary thinker, Richard Longworth, senior fellow at the Chicago Council on Global Affairs and author of Caught in the Middle, America's Heartland in the Age of Globalism. We'll be welcoming phone calls for Richard during the course of this hour. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org, and you can leave messages on our Facebook page, which is The Kathleen Dunn Show. Hello, Richard. Thanks so much for being with us again.
Kathleen, good morning to you.
Yeah, great to have you here. You were at the conference yesterday?
I was. Good conference.
And it was a good one?
Yes, it was. Full house.
Good. I heard it was a sellout. Isn't that a good sign?
Shows the interest in this. I think this may be an idea whose time has come.
Yeah. It's interesting to look at this Paris-based organization because they see this whole area, as we don't, the Chicago region, as a common economic area. Common.
It's a Paris-based organization, the OECD, but it just happens to be there. Actually, it's an organization of 39 big industrial nations, of which, of course, we belong, and we tend to dominate it a bit. But they have done a bunch of what they call territorial reviews around the world, looking at big urban areas, urban regions, and how they can work together, sometimes across national borders. They've never done one in the United States before, but so this was on the Chicago region was the first. Mm-hmm. And they looked at the Chicago region as the 21-county area that stretches from Milwaukee down through Chicago and the suburbs in between and on into northern Indiana all the way to Michigan City. Personally, I felt they could take it all the way into western Michigan, too, but they didn't. But the idea is that this area around the foot of Lake Michigan is one contiguous area. Look at it at night from the sky. You know, it's one continuous band of light. It looks like one city. You get down here on the ground, and with all the divisions and rivalries, that it's not one city anymore. So how can we take this natural advantage, this sort of economic cohesion, and make it a reality? And that's what yesterday was all about.
The pattern, of course, has been that cities would rather compete than cooperate. Why has that been the history?
Oh, that's our nature, I think. We're Midwesterners. I come from a little small town out in Iowa. You know, we just love to hate the little small town next door. If you've ever been involved in trying to get two rural school districts to consolidate, you know the attitudes here. Well, you know, we like to think we're the big city, but that holds true here. Our sports teams compete. We tend to make fun of each other. There's some rude names up in Wisconsin, I believe, that they use to refer to Illinois people. And then there's that state line right down the middle between the two of us, which is a line that was drawn some 200 years ago, didn't make much sense then, and doesn't make any sense now, but boy, it sure keeps us from joining hands.
And let's talk about the assets of both places. You outline them. We have universities. We have global corporations. We really have a lot to recommend us.
We've got this common big industrial history. The industrial age is over, but we know how to make things. We know how to do things. Some of the big Midwestern cities, Detroit and Cleveland, you know, pretty tough shape. Right. Not that Chicago and Milwaukee are doing that great, but we both have thriving downtowns. We both have these terrific lakefronts. We both have very vibrant universities. We've got a workforce that knows what it's doing. We've got good communications between the two of us. There's all sorts of basis there. We're not neither of us are a basket case,
mm-hmm.
but neither of us operating alone are what we could be.
But we're both bleeding jobs and residents. How significantly?
To some degree, Chicago is the only really major city in the United States that lost jobs and residents in the first decade of this century. And we're still trying to figure out why that is, but that seems to be there's a boom in business services during the 1990s. A lot of that's gone overseas. People are moving out. Milwaukee is tied into this. It's lost some companies. We just aren't gaining the way the rest of the country is. The feeling seems to be that, in this global age, size counts. As you mentioned, there's all these cities, 100 of them in China, that are bigger than Milwaukee alone, and that's our competition. We're not competing with Detroit or Indianapolis or St. Louis anymore. We're not even competing with California. The competition is all around the world, and you got to be big. Well, we're not small, but we're not as big as we could be. Join our forces, and we become a true mega city. That's not to say that Milwaukee and Chicago are ever going to become one city. That's not going to happen. There's too much local rivalry for that. But if we can join our economies, work more closely together, we can have the kind of critical mass, the sheer size and clout to compete with other big cities around the world.
You talk about Milwaukee becoming the freshwater capital of the world. How significant is that, and what does that do for the area's economy? How do we use that freshwater resource?
I think it's terrific. I mean, we used to make steel. You had beer in the brewery and all that. So much of this is gone. What do we do for a future? What's our new niche? Where do we have an advantage? Milwaukee has zeroed in on fresh water. The Great Lakes, we got 20% of all the fresh water in the world. And you read what's going on not only in the southern United States, but in India and China and elsewhere. This is a drying out world. And 20 years from now, if anybody wants to live or work or invest in a place with a reliable source of fresh water, it's here, right, on the Great Lakes. This, I think, is a big deal. What kind of industries can be used to exploit this water? We have to conserve it. We have to take care of it. But we can also use it by attracting industries that make water-related products, as Milwaukee has. Secondly, what industries are really going to need fresh water, which, I would think would be most industries? How do we attract them here? We're not going to send Lake Michigan water to Arizona or Texas or Nevada, but how do we attract industries to come here because we have that? I think it's a great big deal, and Milwaukee is off and running. Chicago is just beginning to wake up to the possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the conversation yesterday was on cooperation on water. In fact, at the very end, you had the final panel was the president of Cook County, Tony Preckwinkle, Mayor Tom Barrett, and Paul Jaden, who is, I guess, in effect, the Secretary of Commerce of Wisconsin. And somebody said, in one word, what's our biggest possible area for cooperation? All three of them said water. And this is not a matter of Chicago coming in and bigfooting on Milwaukee and taking over what you've done, but simply realizing there's enough water to go around. A lot of research has to be done, a lot of cooperation. We could be really, this area, the Great Lakes, could be the freshwater center of the world and should be.
Mm-hmm. As you know, there's been a lot of competition when it comes to jobs in this area, and people in Wisconsin have called companies in Illinois and said, hey, our taxes here aren't as high as those of you in Illinois. You've got to come and move here. At yesterday's conference, the director of industrial recruitment at the Milwaukee 7 Economic Development Group said, hey, competition is good. This is a good thing to do. It keeps us all on our toes. What do you think?
Do we want to keep the Midwest and Wisconsin and Illinois and Milwaukee and Chicago just as it is? Don't lose any jobs, but don't gain any jobs. This is the way to do it. just steal jobs from somebody else. You're just moving jobs and taxes back and forth across the border. Or do we want to grow, which means really investing money in new startups, new innovations, entrepreneurial activities? All this job poaching back and forth is really a waste of time. This came up a lot yesterday, and it also poisons the atmosphere for future cooperation. Now, there's some things, and I stress it was Wisconsin people who mentioned this, who said that when Coors and Miller emerged, the new headquarters went down to Chicago. And the idea was you had two big companies that were identified to two big cities, Denver and Milwaukee, and just simply to start new, they needed a neutral place to be. So it could have been Chicago, it could have been Cleveland, it could have been Dallas, but that wasn't really a poaching thing. The second thing they mentioned is a lot of this poaching, this business of saying, hey, you come up here, we got local taxes. This attracts companies. Paul Jaden mentioned this, and I've heard this from other economic development people. This is a phony. I mean, they're gaming the system. A company, an Illinois company, will come up to Wisconsin and say, right, we hear you. What can you give us? How much money can you give us? And Wisconsin comes up with a sum.
Mm-hmm.
And then the same company goes back home to Illinois and says, hey, Wisconsin's going to give us this much money. You got to give us this much money or we're going to leave. In other words, it's playing games. All economic development officials are aware of this. They know they are being treated for fools. They find themselves politically helpless to resist this. But, you know, until we figure out some way of telling these companies, no, you know, you stay where you are and do what you can, they're going to keep on playing this game. And it's economically costly and politically poisonous.
We've talked about this before, but let's address this issue of massive unemployment, particularly among minorities, African Americans, in the city of Milwaukee. And I assume that you have a similar situation in Chicago.
Oh, very much so, yes.
You write about the fact that we have this working age population aging. We have, you say, too many well-educated and poorly educated workers at the top and the bottom, but too few in the middle where the jobs are. What are those jobs, and how in the world are we to get people into those jobs?
This was one of the big topics yesterday, what comes under the title workforce development. In other words, how do you match worker skills to jobs? How do you give workers the skills that they need so they can be hired by the companies that they're looking for?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of companies, you've probably heard this, are saying, I'd like to hire, but I can't find anybody with the proper skills. These are high-tech, industrial-type jobs that pay well. On the other hand, you've got an awful lot of skilled workers out there who are out of jobs who can't find jobs that match their skills, mostly because their companies have automated or moved the job somewhere else. So we have this business. Yes, we're okay for people at the top. We can import all the PhDs that we want. We have a lot of low-skilled, unskilled workers, and these are the inner-city residents and others, the minorities often, but people who've simply been left behind without education and skills, and there is nothing in this economy for them. And then in the middle, you have a very sizable number of people who have to be retrained or trained. How do you do this? There was a lot of conversation yesterday about working with schools, which are turning out people without these kind of skills and workforce attitudes. What to do with community colleges, which are very important here. How to get people away from the idea that you got to go to college and have a four-year education, that there are a lot of good jobs out there that only take 2 years. How do you invest in this? How can, again, Chicago and Milwaukee, because they have common industrial history, have this problem in common? And this was one area that came up where we could really work together on this because it's a great big problem. Once you get past that business of workforce skills in the middle, then you still have the vast number of uneducated and unskilled, pretty much left behind by the vanished industrial economy. And this gets into the problem of basic education. What do we do with our education system? One person mentioned this at the conference yesterday to considerable applause. Obviously she was right. But it is such a huge, huge, huge problem that's bedeviling both of our cities that nobody had any real good ideas where to go.
Richard Longworth, our guest this hour. He is a senior fellow at the Chicago Council on Global Affairs and author of Caught in the Middle, America's Heartland in the Age of Globalism. You've probably heard about this conference, Milwaukee's Future in the Chicago Mega City, that was attended by many. It was a sellout crowd yesterday at Marquette University. Richard was there, and they looked at a number of issues that we're looking at this hour as well. Here's our phone number, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, email talk at WPR.org, Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hour two of our program today, we'll be speaking with an evolutionary biologist at Harvard University who has written extensively about cooperation and why cooperation, not competition, has always been the driving force behind evolution. All right, let's go to phone calls. Will in Racine, our first caller for you, Richard. Hi, Will.
Hi. I just want to comment and say I grew up in the middle of Chicago and Milwaukee and Racine, Wisconsin during the 90s, and I didn't see any benefit from living in between two of the biggest cities in the Midwest. Our neighborhood was immersed in gun violence and a failing economy that Racine has never really recovered from. And with living between two big cities, you would think that we would reap some of the benefits of, you know, the companies that they have and such. But we never fully got around to that. And all we got is societal ailments, I should say. Gang violence bled into our small town, our small city. And now Racine is still the same. It's a crumbling economy with somewhat of a crumbling society. You can't even really get employment there unless you work for Johnson Wax. I just want to know, you know, what would make that different from us working together? Like, what would actually come out of that?
If you live in a city like Racine, that is between two cities that have big economic problems of their own, like Milwaukee and Chicago, it just figures that those economic problems are going to bleed south or north into cities like Racine or Kenosha or some of the other Chicago suburbs. You get the problems of the city. If there were good things about the city, you'd get that too, but that's what we're talking about. The cities like Racine are never going to recover from the loss of their industry until these two big cities, Milwaukee and Chicago, really begin to recover and generate industry on their own. And once that happens, then there will be the areas between the two cities will fill in with new industries, too. There will be something to link on to. There will be money. There will be venture capital. There will be good job training. Right now, if nothing's happening in Milwaukee and Chicago, nothing's going to happen in Racine either. Now, you're talking about gang violence, that sort of thing. We see a lot of that in Chicago. This is more than just a result of poverty or lack of jobs, but poverty and lack of jobs is a big part of it. If young people don't see any good jobs out there, if they don't see the point in staying in school, getting an education so they can work towards a really good job, then they will turn to the streets, and that's too often what we see happening now.
Thanks, Will, for your call. Janice in La Crosse. Hi, Janice.
Yes, hi, good morning. Thank you very much, and thank you for your guest. Just a couple comments. Quickly, I don't know why everyone had to go to college. To me, that was like a lot of people aren't inclined to go to college. They can't afford to go to college. I mean, how about a technical school? Let's get some skill. This is where we're at right now, no skills. Number two, I don't know. To me, we've just greeted ourselves right out in the U.S., you know, these big unions, all these big wages. Want more, more, more. Now you have nothing. They're all overseas, people, so get it. Now maybe we all have to take less, you know. We can't even get this, quote, infrastructure. Our streets, our city streets, our roads, our highways are despicable. And yet, no, you don't see a person out there filling a pothole, you know. No, nobody will do that type of job, you know. Hello, come on, you know. There's so many things that could be done here that we don't do, but no, we got to have more money or we don't do it.
I don't think there are a lot of there are people who are willing to do those jobs. I think there probably are. What about this? What about unions creating problems in this area?
as far as I can tell, there aren't many unions anymore. Unions were a function of the big corporations. The middle of the 20th century, the big corporations, the big unions grew up together, and they've declined together. Something like the American workforce these days is unionized, and that's just about all. Now, that's private sector. Public sector, yeah, unions have a bigger share of the workforce, and that obviously is what a lot of the battle in Wisconsin has been about. But you're not going to get your potholes fixed. You're not going to fix your infrastructure. You're not going to do any of these things that need doing until we get enough money to do it, which means a vibrant economy that generates the kind of tax dollars that generates the budget to do this infrastructure, which in turn generates jobs, quite often really good jobs. Now, we're not talking about the bad, really bad jobs, say the packing house jobs, that Americans really don't want to do, where the immigrants are coming in simply because Americans won't do these jobs. But a good construction job, sure, there's a lot of people out there that would love to do that. You advertise these jobs. You even advertise jobs in hotels or in some store somewhere. You've got a line all around the block.
Mm-hmm.
Thirst of people who want to work, and the jobs aren't there.
Yeah. You have to, I guess, bring in the federal government in this regard as well. Are there stimulus programs that Chicago and Milwaukee can do on their own to get people back to work, or are we looking at a need for the federal government to give stimulus money to this area and other areas where industrial jobs have vanished?
I think there's both here, Kathleen. A lot of the conference yesterday was on what Chicago and Milwaukee can do together, and that, you know, for callers like Will, that includes places in between like Racine, Wisconsin, and Kenosha. So there is a lot that we can do, generating jobs in water, certainly transportation jobs, doing something on rail connections between the two cities, working together on workforce development. This is something we can do without going to Madison or Springfield or Washington to do it. My own feeling is that the federal government does have a role to play here, but it's a role that they're not really fulfilling. That if they came not only to Chicago and Milwaukee or Wisconsin, Illinois, but to the Great Lakes states in general, and said, look, you know, we want to have a project, we want to start a bio industry, we want to create more tourism around the Great Lakes, we want to really do something on high-speed rail, we want to create some sort of new nano industries, but we're not going to give the money to Wisconsin or Illinois or Michigan. You guys got to sit down and figure out how you're going to do this as a region. Or they could give money for urban development, but they give it to Milwaukee and Chicago jointly, forcing the city governments and others here to sit down and plan this out together. Could do the same thing, say, for Cleveland and Pittsburgh or Cincinnati and Louisville or other cities that really should be working together but aren't.
Mm-hmm. What about Madison and Springfield? You talk about the fact that both cities, Chicago and Milwaukee, pay more to the state than they get back. They both exist on the lakeside fringe of their states, and state legislatures are dominated by rural interests, too often scorning cities. This has been a longstanding problem in Wisconsin and Milwaukee, which generates, you know, a lot of jobs and all kinds of things. There's this love-hate relationship with the rest of the state. I'm sure that's true in Illinois as well. What do the cities do about that?
This is worse in Illinois than it is in Wisconsin. Charles Franklin, the visiting professor at Marquette, had an interesting poll at yesterday's conference that showed that most of the state of Wisconsin would see closer cooperation between Chicago and Milwaukee, including closer rail connections, as a real positive. This just isn't a local attitude. But you're right, there is this sort of urban-rural split. The big cities of the Midwest, not only Chicago and Milwaukee, but places like Cleveland and Detroit, started up on the water, started up on the lakes, because that's where shipping, that's where trade took place when they were founded. These big cities grew up on the water. But when the states were formed, they wanted the capitals more or less in the middle of the state for transportation reasons. It took a long time to get your horse and buggy to the state capital, so they wanted to make it as close as possible, which meant that the state capitals and the biggest, most important economic centers of the state had entirely different interests right from the start. It's been a struggle from the get-go. The states do have far too much control over zoning, taxation, education, other policies concerning the cities. The cities need a lot more freedom to frame their own futures. But in the meantime, that's not going to happen before tomorrow morning. It really isn't.
Right.
So what can these cities do that don't need state permission? How can we kind of make an end run around these state rules? How can we cut the legislatures, as it were, out of the argument and work together on our own? And that's what a lot of this upcoming conversation is going to be about. I would say cooperation in the water area is a perfect example.
Let's talk to Steve in Dunn County. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, at first thought, I look at this and I think, well, if Milwaukee has lower taxes, which apparently they do, that should be their natural advantage. It's not really stealing. It might drive down taxes in other areas if they have lower taxes and create a positive cycle of less bureaucracy, lower taxes that brings in business. Because at the end of the day, this grouping together, it looks to me like more bureaucracy, a whole new regional bureaucracy, and it's not going to lower taxes. It's going to raise the cost of doing business there rather than lower it. And on a side note, Milwaukee and Chicago don't own the water in the Great Lakes. It's not theirs to give away or to deal off, you know. So, but I'll hang up and listen. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Steve.
Okay, let's take the water thing first. No, Milwaukee and Chicago don't own it. There is, just within the past decade, was formed the Great Lakes Compact between the eight states that border the Great Lakes, plus two Canadian provinces, Ontario and Quebec, which governs the diversion of water from the state. We just can't take water out and not put it back. And I think you've read about a lot of the problems of suburbs of both Milwaukee and Chicago who lie beyond the Great Lakes watershed and can't draw water from the lakes. So we have to preserve the water. This is not the same thing as using it. You can take water out of the lake and then return it, purify it. Most cities, Chicago, Milwaukee, do this right now with a lot of their sewage and other water usage. This is no big deal. You can also come up with industries that use water or need water, like valves, metering, things like that. Milwaukee has a lot of these. This doesn't divert water. It just makes use of it. The tax issue. Yes, Milwaukee has lower taxes. And you are, because you have lower taxes, you are really going to draw a lot of companies for whom low taxes are the big thing. What this area wants is not the bottom feeders, the companies that are looking for the lowest taxes or the lowest wages or the cheapest ways of doing business. This pretty much guarantees you're going to get low-quality companies paying low-quality wages. What we want are good companies that demand the kind of services, good schools, good infrastructure, good streets, good fiber optics, all that, that it takes tax money to buy. You want companies that can afford to be anywhere, but decide that they want to be in Milwaukee or Chicago. I was told yesterday, this was a new one on me, but I gather there's a Spanish company that has just set up business down the Menominee Valley. Very high quality company, good wages, that searched the world and searched the United States and decided that they wanted to be in Milwaukee because the industrial pass guaranteed the people in Milwaukee had the kind of industrial skills they needed because companies like Briggs Stratton were already there and provided this sort of stuff. And because Milwaukee was just simply the best fit for them. I don't think taxes had anything to do with it.
The area does have a reputation, and it's a long reputation. I'm wondering if we still live up to it, of the cities with broad shoulders, hard workers, industrious people, surviving harsh winters were tough.
There's something to that. Global warming may take up,
right.
maybe take care of some of these harsh winters. We'll see when this summer ends. The big shoulder stuff, Chicago's no longer the city of the big shoulders. Most of the heavy industry we had has gone away. Same way with Milwaukee. For a while there, we were both going to become the city of the high foreheads. We were going to draw in business services, the accountants, the consulting people, the global lawyers, things like that. And to some degree, that's happened. That's part. That's somewhat what lies behind the revitalization of the center of Chicago and the center of Milwaukee. It's real, and you don't want to scorn it, but what we're finding out ain't enough.
Mm-hmm.
There's not enough of these jobs really to employ the kind of people we want. Chicago is rated, anytime you look at a chart, Chicago's always in the top 10 global cities. We are a great big success in this global race. And still in all, we have a million fewer people and hundreds of thousands fewer jobs than we did back in the old industrial age. We got to do more, and that's where this business realizing that manufacturing is still important, that there's still a lot of good vocational jobs out there, that our schools, our community colleges, and our businesses, too, have got to get with it and start encouraging this level of employment, too.
Stephen Fitchburg, hi.
Hi. I want to say that I think water should definitely not go to Arizona and Wyoming, but I am conflicted a bit on that, too, because it's a national resource. But what about the Asian carp and Chicago River? Do you think the flow would ever get reversed on that to protect the lakes? Yeah, thank you.
We're talking about that. Again, I'm not going to say that's going to happen by tomorrow morning. People, are beginning to realize that there is a problem. We're paying attention. We're kind of the big apple down here. The Chicago River does flow out of Lake Michigan because we reversed it at one time. And when this Great Lakes Compact was put into effect, people said, you know, well, Chicago diverts all this water. That's too much. And they finally decided, you know, it's been there forever. It was grandfathered in. So Chicago was given a break on that, simply, I think, because of its clout. Well, we can't play on that forever. And the point came up at this conference yesterday that maybe to get some real conversation going, some real cooperation going between the cities, maybe, you know, it's a good idea to have the Big Apple, the big city, make a concession. And one thing that Chicago could do was say, we still don't think that the Asian carp are a problem. We think we can live with it, but it's very important to the other people in the Great Lakes. So, okay, yes, we will do something about that. And so this goes beyond just becoming an environmental or an economic situation and becoming a political ploy that we could do to encourage others to cooperate with us. And there's a lot to be said for that.
Richard Longworth is our guest this hour. Richard has joined us before talking about what it is the Midwest can do to move ahead economically. He's now heavily involved in Chicago, Milwaukee, or Milwaukee-Chicago cooperation. A major conference on this and a really stimulating day, it sounds like, was held in Milwaukee. Milwaukee's future in the Chicago mega city. Richard is senior fellow at the Chicago Council on Global Affairs, author of Caught in the Middle, America's Heartland in the Age of Globalism. And we do want to let you know that there's video, a link to the video from yesterday's conference on our Facebook page and on the Kathleen Dunn Show page. Go to WPR.org, click on Kathleen Dunn, and you can see more for those of you who are, and everybody should be, vitally interested. We have yet to talk about transportation. How can you have this regional center unless you can get from one place to another efficiently and fairly rapidly? So we'll talk about how the conference address that and welcome more of your phone calls. Some lines are open right now. 800-486-8655 is our number. 800-486-8655. Email is talk@wpr.org, and you can go to our Facebook page and leave comments as well. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Richard Longworth, our guest. We need to talk about rail for a moment and other forms of transportation. You got to be able to get to both places pretty rapidly. And we debate rail like you wouldn't believe and have for a long time. How did you address that issue yesterday, Richard?
It was a big issue yesterday simply because it's the transport is the connection between the two cities. We're 90 miles apart, which, you know, we're not a suburb of each other. That's just far enough apart to be unhandy. There is a good deal of commuting back and forth, and nowhere close what it could be. We've got I-94, which tends to jam up, needs widening. Maybe it does if you want more cars, you want more vehicular traffic. But the big thing is the rail connection. Now, obviously, right. there's the Amtrak that goes back and forth. Somebody pointed out that the schedule is arranged just to make it really impossible to have decent and timely meetings in either city. And it takes 90 minutes. Now, 90 minutes for 90 miles in this day and age is not very impressive. Mm-hmm. What we need, we're not talking about a bullet train like Japan or the TGV in France or anything like that. But a really good high-speed rail network between the two could cut that 90 minutes to 45 minutes. Now you're talking about something. I mean, that's a normal commute, 45 minutes. Get on the train in the morning, come down, do business here, go back in the evening, or make it very easy to work in Chicago and live in Milwaukee or vice versa. In this day and age, a lot of the people that you want to draw in, people you want to hire out from outside, are power couples. They're two, man and wife, are both career people. And you hire somebody for a job in Milwaukee, and he or she is going to say, yeah, great, but my husband or my wife needs a job too. How about that? Well, if Milwaukee is really part, in all senses, including transportation, of this Chicago megacity, making it very easy. That just expands the labor pool, it expands the possibilities, expands the ease with which you can draw in people like this. So there was a lot of conversation about what we can do really to make this sort of thing a reality.
And were you optimistic that it can become a reality? Because it does beg the question, why in the world haven't we done it already?
Because there's a lot of opposition. There's been opposition from the Metro people down here in Chicago. There's been big opposition from the Wisconsin state government. There has been opposition from the legislature. There's a lot of political opposition to this, spending money on something like this to tie Milwaukee more closely to Chicago. I think this goes back to this old attitudes we were talking about built-in competition. Now, what we got talking about yesterday, this idea that we have to cooperate more closely together, everybody there agreed. We're kind of speaking to the choir yesterday. Everybody there agreed on it. That's the need. We got to do it. Yeah, great stuff. But what do we do now? What's next? And the idea was to try and get some projects going, to get leaders talking together between the two cities. In short, build up the sort of political support from not only from government, but especially from business and from unions and from schools and students and the rest, that would persuade political leaders to drop their opposition to this and get on board. You've got to build political support for this, and this is one way to do it.
Yeah. David in Ironwood, hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, David.
Okay. Anyway, I hear people talking about high taxes and stuff, how they need to lower taxes and blaming unions. I mean, if we just get rid of all taxes and stuff, and everyone drills their own wells in Chicago, I mean, come on, people. Taxes is the price you pay for civilization. If you cooperate, you get more things done, what I call it. It doesn't mean taxing and spending it on things that don't work. But spending on, like, a high-speed train between Milwaukee and Chicago, that will pay a lot of dividends.
Richard.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I think the same thing holds true for a high-speed network across the Midwest. All of our cities, if Milwaukee and Chicago are 90 miles apart, most big cities are about 200 miles apart, just far enough apart to keep from doing business. The Europeans, the Chinese, many other nations have already solved this problem. We don't have to invent anything, but it's just a matter of investing in decent high-speed rail, and by this I mean true high-speed rail, 220 miles an hour max, 150 miles an hour average, instead of the improvement that's going on now, which is sort of a gussied-up version of Amtrak. But this, as David points out, this takes tax money. It's called investment. And it's like the interstate highway network, which was an investment at the time. It costs money, and it's paid off over and over again. Good schools are an investment. A good harbor is an investment. Keeping your lakeside parks looking good are an investment because they make the city a better place to live, which means you're going to get the kind of people who can afford to live anywhere are going to come to Milwaukee, look at it, and say, hey, this place is pretty. I'd like to live here. That's it's your tax money at work.
They are pretty cities, aren't they? You cannot underestimate Lake Michigan.
It's amazing. I think these two cities are the only two cities I know of that have really protected their waterfronts.
Mm-hmm.
Los Angeles, you know, they got the ocean, but you can't see it. My son lives in Toronto, which, of course, on Lake Ontario, and it's a and Toronto is a terrific city. It's mm-hmm. a wonderful city, but they have messed up their waterfront. They look at Chicago, and they look at Milwaukee, and they say, oh, boy, wish we'd done that.
Right. Let's go to Chris in North Lake. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Hi.
The reason why I was calling is I believe that the first and foremost key to making everything better in America in general, not just Milwaukee and Chicago, is to make it an incentive for people to bring industry back here. And it's not the unions that made industry leave. It's greed and corporate greed that made industries leave. A lower labor rate. Let's tax and put tariffs on imports coming into America to make it more feasible to build that product here. Let's give tax relief for raw materials that need to be imported to build materials here. That's all I have to say on that.
There was a lot of conversation, but not a lot, but some, at the conference yesterday about this. This is called industrial policy. It's called picking winners and losers. It's something we Americans never do because we firmly believe that government can't pick winners or losers, or government shouldn't try to influence the economy. Unfortunately, nobody ever got around to telling the Germans or the Chinese that this doesn't work. So they're doing it. It seems to be working fine there. There's a lot of conversation. Yes, we do have to do this on a national basis. This doesn't mean closing the United States off, but rather making it harder to export jobs overseas and making it easier to set up companies here. This is a national policy. Fine. Over the past 30 or 40 years, while the national economy has been going up and down, mostly up, except obviously for the last 4 years, the Midwest has been falling behind. We've been losing out on this. We need our own industrial policy. The big cities of the Midwest, like Milwaukee and Chicago, have been falling behind. We can't count on a national policy reviving our own particular fortunes. We got to take our future in our own hands. So this is what the conference was about. What can we do on our own to promote industry? How can we draw industry here? How can we keep industries from leaving? And this was one of the big topics. And if it's industrial policy, fine. One idea is all the Midwestern states, including Wisconsin and Illinois, have these offices all around the world, in Sao Paulo and Shanghai and Brussels and places like that, to drum up business and investment and trade for their local states. Now, most of these offices are in places where local people aren't entirely sure where Wisconsin and Illinois even are.
Right.
What about the cities of the Midwest, starting with Milwaukee and Chicago, marketing themselves together around the world? Saying, you know, turning this, we can call it the Chicago region, we can call it the North Coast, we can call it the Fresh Coast, as Tom Barrett likes to do, whatever, marketing ourselves as this region and really putting on a well-funded and high-pressure campaign to get foreign companies to come in here, like this Spanish company that just went into the Valley. These American companies, having gone global, are going to continue to export jobs because that's where their workers and that's where their sales and most of their business are. But there's an awful lot of companies around the world that used to be German or Japanese or Korean that have gone global themselves and want to go where their customers are, and a lot of their customers are in the United States. Well, we could get a lot of those jobs, a lot of those investment, but we've got to go at it in a smart way.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about former Governor Granholm of Michigan, who has talked about and did actually just go to various countries and say, hey, we're going to give you a good deal on taxes. Why don't you come home? We really want you to locate here. And she met with some success. Is that a part of the equation here? Or are there people who want to come home to sweet home Chicago, Milwaukee?
What Jennifer Granholm did and what she wrote about in her book, A Governor's Story, I think is very shrewd. She you know, she hit the governor's office there in Lansing of the year 2002, well before the recession started, but it already started in Michigan, as it had started here. And they just bled jobs. She had a terrible time in office. But to the degree she had some success, it was mostly on foreign tours, persuading foreign companies to invest in Michigan. I think we should do more than that. It's not a matter of trying to steal a company from Illinois or trying to steal a company from Wisconsin. It's just going to Korea and saying, you want to establish your manufacturing operations right in the middle of the United States where the transportation is good and you can reach your entire American market. Okay, we're here. Come. Bring it up.
Yeah. Thanks, Chris. Don in Holman. Hi.
Yes. This conversation is wonderful. It's right on. And it fits totally with a guy who was a visionary in my life, Lee Sherman Dreyfus, governor of the state of Wisconsin at one time. His concept of megapolis, it dealt with one level lower, and that is the cities in Wisconsin, like Stevens Point, cooperating with Wisconsin Rapids, rather than fighting against each other. I think, sir, you are right on.
Wisconsin's doing a pretty good job of this in many ways. You got something like the New North Corridor stretching up from Fond du Lac up through Appleton on to Green Bay. you know, they're doing a lot, especially in wind turbine production.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that Paul Jaden now in the Commerce Department is former mayor of Green Bay, I think, has something to do with it. Western Wisconsin, cities like La Crosse and Eau Claire are looking west into to other cities in Minnesota. It only makes sense now for cities in southeastern Wisconsin, like Milwaukee and Racine and Kenosha, to look south even more than they do to Wisconsin, to Chicago. And it behooves Chicago to look back. The interesting thing about the conference yesterday, I think, Kathleen, is this was a Milwaukee conference. And it talked about Milwaukee's future in the Chicago megacity. In other words, it was a recognition that Milwaukee really belongs to this larger Chicago economy. And how can Milwaukee make maximum use of this? I have to say we sit down here in Chicago, and we have a hard time paying attention to anything north of Evanston. We get very parochial about this. It's up to us now, I think, here in Chicago to reciprocate on this and realize that if this is good for Chicago, for Milwaukee, it's also good for Chicago. And it expands our clout, expands our range, our labor pool, our ability to attract investment.
Thanks, Don. Tom in Libertyville, Illinois. Hi, Tom. Tom, are you there? Tom is not there. Let's go to Greg on email. Can you talk about the inefficiencies of having over 1,400 government units here compared to just one in London?
There was a lot of conversation about this, too, and I think the figure may be closer to 1,700 or 2,000, but who's counting? We have all these various taxing bodies and jurisdictions that have grown up. This is a remnant of Jeffersonian democracy, which may have sounded good in Jefferson's time, but causes a lot of trouble now. And people like Tony Preckwinkle and Tom Barrett were talking about the problems that this engenders in working with all these various jurisdictions. I think the thing to do, we're not going to wipe them out, probably. Indiana's trying to wipe out some of its townships, and good luck to them. But they're there. But again, it's like some of the more restrictive parts of state government, how do we work around them? I think you notice that when businesses decide to invest somewhere, they don't pay an awful lot of attention to park districts or townships or even county governments. They go where they want to and strike their own deals based on availability of land, availability of good labor, markets, transport, things like that. That these little jurisdictions don't get in the way quite as much as we think they do. We'd be a lot better off without them, but there's some jobs there, and if you're in government and you've got a job, you're going to protect it to the bitter end. So probably instead of devoting our efforts to getting rid of these small jurisdictions, figure out some way of working around them.
Yeah. Well, you're a great guest. I really love talking to you. I wish we could end with a song about Milwaukee, Chicago, freshwater, something new. We need a song. That always helps, you know.
Well,
didn't hurt New York or Chicago.
We'll work on this. I guess the song is not Go Cubs Go, is it?
No.
Okay.
Oh, no. Okay. Thank you, Richard.
You keep the Brewers, we'll keep the Cubs, and beyond that, we can work together.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay,
yeah, stay in touch.
Bye.
Richard Longworth, Senior Fellow at the Chicago Council on Global Affairs and author of Caught in the Middle, America's Heartland in the Age of Globalism, a reminder that there's video from yesterday's Marquette Law School Conference. It's on our Facebook page. Go to the Kathleen Dunn Show, and there it is. And many of you will want to see that. This show is produced by Brett Jaspers and Rhonda Fanning, with the Olympic Games set to get underway in London. Tomorrow at 9, sports writer Frank DeFord connects the modern games to their unlikely origin. And at 10, David Marinus on his book, Barack Obama, The Story. So that's coming up tomorrow. And we're going to talk about why we cooperate the second hour of our program today. Stay with us.